Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for joining us today on our Window on the World. Today, we have an entertainment article about how did these films get made. Yes, we're glad you're with us today, and we're also glad to have some very interesting panelists with us to discuss this subject. And Bill, it's always fun to teach with you. How are you today?
Great, Doris. Happy to be here, and I love this topic, so I'm looking forward to discussing it.
Well, it's on page 44, and while you're getting ready for that, let's introduce the other panelists. Who else do we have with us today, Bill?
Well, we've got Catherine here with us today. Woohoo! Hi, Catherine.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here.
We're glad that you can be here because now one of her jobs is being one of the editors of this magazine. And isn't that fun?
It is so much fun. I love it so far. It's a great job.
And it's also nice to be on the radio program so you can talk about the things that you have helped edit, isn't it?
That's true. It's always nice to get to talk about these exciting articles that we give to everyone every month.
Right, and we also have one of our teachers that has been on Studio Classroom, and let's talk. Who is that?
Nathaniel!
Woo! Nathaniel. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hello, it's good to be here. I'm interested in this article because it's about movies, but it's also kind of about some business ideas, too. I think it's going to be interesting.
I think it will be. And Nathaniel, did you grow up in Taiwan?
I did grow up in Taiwan. Very glad to be back here working for a while, too.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. And, you know what this idea about relationships is. What do we say in Chinese for that?
Guanxi.
Right. Is Guanxi important in Asia?
I would say it's very central in Asia.
Very central. We call it relationships. So Guanxi is also important in America. Bill, is it important in other countries, do you think?
It's important everywhere, Doris. These relationships, that's how business happens. And we're talking about films, but this is true in all industries. It's about relationships. But we are going to focus on the entertainment movie industry, and it might even be more important than other businesses in the film business. It's how everything gets done.
Well, I know a lot of people love to go to movies. I think Nathaniel likes to, don't you?
I do. I definitely like to go to movies. I haven't seen all of the movies we're talking about today, but I have seen some of them.
Well, Doris, in fact, I'm glad Nathaniel's here because I think, Nathaniel, you were a theater major in school, or you did a lot of work
drama,
in theater.
Right?
Yeah, I did some directing in college, yeah.
So, and I know he wants to work in this field in his career, so I know it's very important for Nathaniel, and he's going to be dealing with this throughout his career.
Well, this article here on page 44, it talks about the relationships between the actors, the studios, and the producers, because they are the heart of the movie-making business. So think about relationships. There's the actors, okay, the studios and the producers. Wow, that's really some strong relationships.
Well, it is. It's very strong. You know, we see the actors. That's what really the public sees. We see the big names, right? The Brad Pitts, the Angelina Jolies. But actually, the real people, the movers and shakers are the ones behind the scenes, the directors, the producers, and then actually the studio executives. They're the ones making the deals that make movies happen.
So when they say, how did these films get made, they're not really telling us how they were produced, but they are saying, why were they produced? Why were they accepted as a film, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. I think some of these movies we may mention, they're a little bit different. Maybe not everyone wants to watch them. They've got some different topics. So we wonder how they got past
How would they have decided to make these movies? How did they reject or accept the scripts or the idea? Mm. This article was written by Patrick Goldstein, and I would say that there's a lot of descriptive writing in this article. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, a lot of phrases we need to talk about today. We need to explain and maybe some other words. So I think there's plenty to learn from this article.
And Doris, I'd say to understand that question, our title, how did these films get made, for our listeners, When I read this, I would say you could actually change this title to Why Did These Films Get Made? That's really what we're going to talk about, because we're going to examine some films that people would just say, what in the world were people thinking?
I think about books, too. How come they accepted that book? How come it was printed and so forth? So this will be an interesting subject. So let's start now by taking the first section, line 1 through line 14.
How did these films get made? Relationships between actors, studios, and producers are the heart of movie-making business. In Hollywood, everyone is in the relationship business. Studios woo amateurs. Directors schmooze stars. Writers cozy up to producers. Agents and managers zealously court the bankable filmmakers and actors who can get movies off the ground. The relationships pay off in a million different ways. Will Smith has now made 8 of his last 10 live-action movies at Sony, thanks largely to a close relationship with studio co-chairman Amy Pascal. Warner Brothers is skin tight with director Christopher Nolan. 20th Century Fox is James Cameron's home court. But if you look at the recent crop of movies that have crashed and burned, something striking stands out. Many of the duds would never have passed the studio standard box office smell test. They were made because they were relationship movies.
So today we're going to talk about relationship movies, or 为什么做这个电影有关系。 So in Hollywood, everybody's in the relationship business, but I would say in almost every business, there's a lot of relationships involved.
Yeah, that is true. And if you're in banking, for instance, the difference between banks is really comes down to the customer relationships that the executives have. All banks pretty much offer the same services. It's just the relationships. And that's just one example. This is through all industries.
But it says here in Hollywood that people at the studios that make these, the big studios, they actually woo amateurs.
Well, an amateur is someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, but if the studio is wooing them, they're kind of bringing them over to their side. They want them to help them produce something.
We better look out, or they might try to woo Nathaniel away from us, you know?
I would say in this case, studios wooing amateurs, they're always looking for the next big star,
right.
So they're always trying to
look for
the fresh talent.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But that's what they do for the amateurs. They try to find one and make them into a star. But what did the directors do?
Well, they're trying to schmooze with stars. Now, if you schmooze with someone, it's where our definition says you converse casually. So maybe they're trying to compliment these stars, to try to impress them, to say, come work with us, come work with us, come be in our movies.
This word is kind of, I would say it's sort of a slang word in a way, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it is a slang word. We used it in business when I was in sales, selling computer software. We had the schmooze customers. And
play up to them, kind of, right?
It means, okay, you're having a conversation that has purpose behind it. It's not really, I would say, a sincere, honest conversation. Everything that you are doing in this conversation is all directed towards achieving a goal, which is getting business and generating money.
Yeah, I think Bill might be a good schmoozer for business. Do you think so?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. Bill, did you ever do any schmoozing?
All the time, and I get really tired of it.
But no, we don't do it now in studio classroom.
I'm so glad I don't do it.
Yeah, you're not
anymore.
Doing it now. But, you know, it is a term that they use sometimes to play up the people for some benefit, really, actually. But it says what the studios, they try to get the amateurs, the directors try to play up to the stars. What do the writers do?
They cozy up to the producers. They want to get comfortable with somebody that has some power so they can write a script, and maybe this producer will take it up and produce that movie.
Okay, so to cozy up to is another – these are sort of – you could say slang or just common expressions, but, you know, they're a little bit different. And we have this is a movie interest is different, so it's okay to use them in this case. But, you know, you don't say, well, let's cozy up to that person. I don't know. You wouldn't say it usually, but we understand what it means here.
Right, yeah. We can use it in, you know, common relationships too. Oh, they're cozying up to that person. They're trying to get close with them.
Get close to them, right. Well, what do the agents, and what do the managers do?
Well, it says that they zealously court bankable filmmakers and actors. So if they do this zealously, they do it very eagerly because they really, really want to get these actors and filmmakers on board with their movies.
Right. So the agents, of course, and the managers, the reason they court them or they cozy up to them or they smooth them, you could use any of these words almost. They could do that, but they're trying to use different words here. So they court them, which means that they also kind of smooth them, I think. Don't you?
Right. I mean, I think it's kind of playing off of two people dating or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of courting. But yeah, the same kind of meaning there.
Right. To the bankable filmmakers, those that have money and actors, because those people can get movies off the ground. They're famous. And if you get them in your movie, it will be a success.
Yeah, that's right. They're looking for the bankable filmmakers and actors. And, you know, we keep seeing the same actors in movies all the time. There's a reason for it.
Right.
Directors and studios believe, okay, if I make a movie with Liam Neeson or Bruce Willis in it, no matter how bad it is, it's still going to make money.
It'll
because I got
the
name.
Yeah.
So, and this name can get the movie off the ground.
Right. So this kind of relationship, these things pay off in many different ways, a million, probably that's exaggerating a little bit, but in many different ways. What about Will Smith?
Yeah, Will Smith has now made 8 of his last 10 live-action movies at Sony at
now,
one studio.
Will Smith is kind of funny, isn't he?
Yeah, he does some comedy, he does some action, very popular.
Okay, and so he's actually made 8 of his last 10 movies with Sony. Why?
Well, it says that he has a very close relationship with one of the studio co-chairmen, Amy Pascal. So it sounds like he's worked a lot with this woman.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody's heard of Will Smith. Probably nobody's heard of Amy Pascal. But Amy Pascal is a power player in Hollywood and is one of the people that decides what gets made, who becomes a star.
That's true. That's to do with the Sony movie. But what about Warner Brothers? They're very famous movie producers. They're skin tight with director Christopher Nolan.
Again, that just means being very close with this director, skin tight. If you're tight with someone, I think that's more common an expression that we say. If you're tight with someone, you're very close to them.
Okay. Well, what about 20th Century Fox? That's another producing studio.
Well, they've got James Cameron. They're his star director there, and that's his home court at 20th Century Fox. We normally say that, for instance, like in basketball, the Houston Rockets, they've got their home court where they play all their home games. We're just transferring this over to the movie business.
So I would say that this whole first paragraph has so many different little words in it that you might not ordinarily use this way. So it's a very clever use of all the words, very descriptive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is, and that's why it's kind of fun to read. You get to learn a lot of
right.
new
it's
little phrases.
It's very advanced, isn't it? Right? But then if you look at the recent crop of music, a crop is usually like we talk about the rice crop or the wheat crop, but the group of movies that just came out, the series of movies, some of them have crashed and burned, which means they did not get off the ground. They did not make it. There's something very striking or noticeable that stands out. And what is that, Bill?
Well, many of the duds or failures would never have passed the studio's standard box office smell test.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. What's the smell test? Have you ever heard of the smell test?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I read this sentence, Doris, I thought they got to take a look at this and say, does this movie stink or not?
Yeah, right.
Is it like Joe Tofu or does
it
smell like
you know,
a beautiful flower?
Yeah, they say it stinks, right? It's terrible, yeah. They say, well, nobody would like that one. This one doesn't smell good, you know.
Right.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't seem good, you know. But then why did they make them if they weren't going to be any good? And they made them anyway. Why?
Well, this article calls them relationship movies. They were made because of the relationships with the people that wanted to make these movies.
So that's what we're going to discuss today and tomorrow, why they made them. Let's read on to find out more.
A risky business. Studios these days are notoriously averse to risk. So why would Sony make a $30 million film based on the preposterous idea that the Earl of Oxford was the secret author of Shakespeare's most popular plays? Why would 20th Century Fox spend $40 million bankrolling The Big Year, a comedy about bird enthusiasts. Neither of the films had much luck with moviegoers. Despite the presence of Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson, The Big Year grossed a paltry $7.1 million in the United States. The Shakespeare story Anonymous did even worse, barely eking out $4.3 million. So why did everyone spend so much money on such commercially questionable subject matter? That's where relationships come in. No one at Sony had a burning desire to make a thriller about who wrote Romeo and Juliet. But the director of Anonymous, Roland Emmerich, has filled Sony's coffers to the brim with box office loot from such hits as 2012, Godzilla, and The Patriot.
First sentence of the second part of the lesson talks about the studios that we're talking about up here, Warner Brothers, Sony, all of these. They are really, it says notoriously, they're very desperately afraid, they're adverse to, they're uncertain about risk. So if they're afraid of taking a risk, why on earth are they doing this, Bill? They don't seem like they are.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Ultimately, it's about making money, and they are willing to take risks because in the long term, maybe if they can satisfy the stars and the directors, eventually they will make money on these people.
Not on the movie, but on the people it involves.
That's right.
So they want to hang on to these stars, and so they're going to let them do the ideas that they have. I guess so. Because it says, why would Sony make a $30 million film? Can you imagine a film that costs $30 million?
Oh, I really can't. That's so much money.
That's a lot of money. And what was it based on?
Well, this article says it's based on the preposterous idea, kind of unbelievable, ridiculous idea, that the Earl of Oxford was the secret author of Shakespeare's most popular plays.
I think that is kind of preposterous myself. Preposterous is a word that we read a lot. We probably don't use it in our vocabulary, but we certainly understand preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, like Nathaniel said, it means kind of crazy. It's way out there. No one really understands what it's about. It's a fun word.
Who would believe that, right?
Yeah, if Katie said, oh, I'm sorry, Teacher Bill, my report, I don't have it today because my dog ate it. Yeah. I would say that's preposterous, Katie. You expect me to believe that?
But that's true. But so here's this idea, the Earl of Oxford, he was really the one that wrote Shakespeare's best plays, his most popular ones. Well, I don't know. Shakespeare's not alive to defend himself. I don't know if it's fair to make a movie like that. Do you think so?
I think that the idea is really silly. I've seen this movie. I actually really liked it. But after I watched it, I thought, if they're trying to convince me that Shakespeare didn't write his plays, they did a horrible job. If they're trying to entertain me, they did a really good job.
See, that's different. Sometimes just for fun, you like to do things that are preposterous, but they make good movies. That's true. But why would 20th Century Fox spend $40 million on putting up the money for? Bankrolling means putting up the money for this. When you bankroll something, you support it with your finances.
So 20th Century Fox is paying for this movie, The Big Year, to be made. And it's a comedy about bird enthusiasts. And so you might think, what in the world about guys watching birds? Why would they even make that? Well, we do find out here in the next sentence or two.
Right. Just tell us more about it. What does it say?
Oh, well, that's right. We say that neither of the films had much luck with the moviegoers. No one really enjoyed it, even though it had three really popular actors, Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson. They still didn't bring it
up. Did you see that movie?
I didn't because
I don't even know if it was
here. I had no
here.
Interest. Yeah, I don't think it ever came here.
But, you know, when I look at the poster over here, we have a picture of it on page 44, and we see those guys looking through their binoculars. It looks kind of funny, and I would think that it would be a comedy when I looked at that picture. So I think it might be kind of a fun movie because whether you're interested in birds or not, you can tell that something's going to be kind of funny the way they're looking at it. I think of it as being a comedy. Wouldn't you when you see that poster?
Sure. It conveys the message of comedy. And actually, all three actors are known for comedy films. And so That's part of why this film was made, because of these three actors. As far as you know, they have popularity with audiences,
and
especially
like
Jack Black and Owen Wilson.
You think
now.
You might see it just because you think it might be fun?
No.
You wouldn't?
I would know. I wouldn't go see that
I would see
film,
it, but
no.
Would you go see that one?
I wasn't interested in seeing it in theaters. Maybe sometime on DVD. We'll see.
Okay. Or HBO later.
Maybe.
It's not worth it to spend
We call that a rental. That's why Daniel would tell me, Bill, that's a rental.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much killing and stuff in some of the films and so many fake things from people from outer space. Sometimes it's nice just to see a little kind of a fun movie with real people in it. You know, entertaining. Let's talk about entertainment here.
Well, there has to be a little bit of action. Bird watching is sitting around.
Yeah, but these guys must make it fun.
Hopefully.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to go by myself. But anyway, it says here that the big year, they got a paltry, which means a very small amount. To me, $7 million sounds like a lot. But if they put a lot of money in on it, you know, how much did they spend? $40 million? And they got $7 million back. It's not a very good investment then.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't want to be making investments like that. So, and then we see the Shakespeare story, Anonymous, did even worse, barely eking out or barely making $4.3 million. That was in the U.S. market. It made $15 million worldwide, which was only half of what they spent on it.
Yeah, well, at least that you put a little bit of money in on it. You put your money. You bought a ticket on that.
Yeah, I and some other friends put some money into it, and we all enjoyed it, actually.
But you weren't convinced, though.
Oh, no. I was not convinced that the story was true at all. No.
So then why did everybody, on the next page, page 45 says, why did everybody spend so much money on making these films? And they are commercially questionable. What does commercially questionable mean?
Well, that means it's doubtful to succeed financially. Normally, when banks back a business, they look at a business plan and they say, is this viable? Is it feasible? Likewise, we would look at a movie, and some of these movies we would say they're commercially questionable. We don't think they're going to make much money.
Why did they even make them? So why did they?
Well, it says that's where relationships come in. So we know that these movies were made because of the relationship that was behind the movie, because of the producers and the directors.
And the next sentence, you know, is a way of saying it very – no one at Sony had a burning desire. In other words, they didn't say, yes, let's make this movie. Oh, I'm all for – no. It was just the opposite. They were probably cool on the idea.
Right, yeah, no one really wanted to make this movie at the studio because it's a thriller about who wrote Romeo and Juliet.
So
thriller.
Who cares, you know?
Yeah, who wants to see that is what they really thought.
But what about Anonymous then? What about the director?
Well, we find out that Roland Emmerich has filled Sony's coffers or the accounts, their bank account, to the brim with a lot of money from previous movies that he has made with them.
Right, he's made some pretty interesting movies. Now, sometimes when you go to a movie, you don't even remember who made it. You remember who was in it, you remember the story. So, The Patriot, you probably wouldn't think right off, that was made by Roland Emmerich. You wouldn't think of that, would you?
I had no idea. I do know that I loved that movie, The Patriot. So if I had known it was Roland Emmerich, I might have gone to go see.
I always look at when I go to a movie to see who wrote the music because I'm interested in music and somebody who did the costumes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. The Patriot had Mel Gibson in it. Ironically, as I read this sentence, it's interesting. 2012 and Godzilla really weren't very good movies, but they made money for the studio. So, again, it's not about quality. It's just about who can make money for you. Well, we have an interesting feature today and tomorrow. It's a two-part feature, Doris. It kind of takes us behind the scenes in Hollywood.
One day I'll be a movie star and have my name in lights.
You sure are zealous. What's so great about being a movie star? Wouldn't you rather work at a desk?
A desk? No, no, no. I'm an actress. I have a striking personality, and there's no way I will crash and burn. A desk is no place for me. Plus, I know Jessica. She works for the director of the new thriller movie.
I see. Well, you have the confidence, and that's a start. That might help get your career off the ground, but it's really all about who you know.
Yeah, whatever. I gotta go. I'm meeting with my agent. I must have gotten the role in the new thriller movie.
Good luck.
Oh, that's my phone. Hello? Yeah, what'd you find out?
I'm sorry, Brooke, but they didn't offer you the role for the movie.
That's preposterous. I didn't get the role? Why?
Well, it's terrible that she didn't get the role, but we'll find out tomorrow what the rest of the story is and if she does have a strong enough relationship with some of the studios or the directors. Now, we've been talking about directors and studios and producers, but of course, one thing I want to mention, Doris, is that many of the stars that we see in movies today, they have also got strong connections in the business. Many of them are in this because of their family. A lot of people don't know it. For instance, Angelina Jolie, well, her father is John Voight, a longtime, very famous actor who maybe some of our listeners would recognize him from a couple of the Mission Impossible movies that he made with Tom Cruise. So Angelina Jolie had an inside track to her career. There's also Michael Douglas that we know from Wall Street, his father being Kirk Douglas, longtime famous actor. Nicolas Cage, his uncle is Francis Ford Coppola, who made the Godfather movies. So a lot of these people, Gwyneth Paltrow, her parents, father was a producer, mother, famous actress. So it's not just the directors and the producers, but to get into this business, a lot of the actors need not just guanxi, but it doesn't hurt to have parents in the business.
We'll have more fun talking about this tomorrow. It's an entertainment subject, and we'll decide what kind of movies people go to and why. But some of them are made because of guanxi, because of relationships. So be sure and be with us. Will you all be here tomorrow?
I know I will be.
I'm excited to be back.
Sure. Love and the topic.
All the people listening in on the radio, you'll be here with us too. We'll wait for you tomorrow. See you then. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.